What makes a team not just successful, but legendary? In New Zealand, a country of just 4.8 million people, the All Blacks rugby team has dominated the global stage with an astonishing 86% win rate in the professional era, arguably the most successful sports franchise in history. Their black jersey with its iconic silver fern has become more than a uniform, it's a symbol that transcends sport. When Oprah Winfrey visited New Zealand in 2011, she insisted on witnessing the All Blacks' famous haka ritual firsthand, calling it one of the most powerful cultural experiences she'd ever seen. Even former President Barack Obama has cited their leadership model in speeches about organizational excellence. What makes this team so extraordinary isn't just athletic prowess, but a cultural system built on character, purpose, and legacy that has revolutionized our understanding of high performance. Through privileged access during their 2010 World Cup preparation, author James Kerr reveals the timeless principles that have made the All Blacks not just winners on the field, but architects of a leadership philosophy that resonates far beyond the rugby pitch. In the locker room after a decisive victory, something remarkable happens. Senior All Blacks players, world-class athletes who moments ago dominated their opponents, quietly pick up brooms and begin sweeping the floor. They clean their own locker room, properly, so no one else has to. This simple act embodies their fundamental philosophy. No one looks after the All Blacks. The All Blacks look after themselves. If you're wanting guys to pull together as a team, you've got to have that personal discipline, explains former player Andrew Mertens. This principle, that character trumps talent, forms the foundation of their success. A collection of talented individuals without personal discipline will ultimately fail. The greatest sports leaders have always understood this truth. Vince Lombardi built his Packers dynasty on character. John Wooden famously taught UCLA basketball players to put on their socks correctly before anything else. Bill Walsh transformed the San Francisco 49ers with his belief that culture drives results, the score takes care of itself. What separates the All Blacks from other teams is how they attach personal meaning to higher purpose. Being an All Black means becoming a steward of cultural legacy. Your responsibility is to leave the jersey in a better place than you found it. This sense of responsibility elevates their performance beyond mere athletic competition. Humility lies at the core of this philosophy, deeply ingrained in Maori culture, where getting above yourself is frowned upon. Leaders with mana, spiritual power, understand that humility isn't weakness, but strength, allowing connection with deepest values. For the All Blacks, excellence begins with humility, a willingness to sweep the sheds, to never be too big to do the small things that need to be done. This creates an environment where exceptional results demand exceptional circumstances. Team culture is shaped through fundamental values, selecting character over talent, and fostering an interrogative learning environment where everyone contributes solutions. When you're an All Black, you're never too big to do the small things that need to be done. After a catastrophic defeat and off-field disaster in South Africa, where alcohol-fueled behavior left several players dangerously intoxicated and others engaging in destructive conduct, assistant coach Wayne Smith's stark assessment of the team as dysfunctional became the catalyst for radical change. The coaching team, led by Graham Henry, implemented a comprehensive four-stage organizational transformation. First, they established an undeniable case for change by meticulously documenting performance failures and cultural issues. Second, they crafted a compelling vision centered on personal growth and leadership development, emphasizing character over mere athletic prowess. Third, they built sustained capability by making difficult decisions to remove resistant players, regardless of their star status, while nurturing emerging talents who embraced the new culture. Finally, they executed a detailed plan that developed technical skills alongside mental resilience and leadership capabilities. This transformation directly addressed what organizational theorists call the sigmoid curve, the natural cycle of learning, growth, and decline that affects all organizations, teams, and products. The crucial insight that emerged was counterintuitive but powerful. The optimal time to initiate change is when you're at the peak of your performance, not during decline. The All Blacks learned to make strategic sigmoid leaps by timing changes with precision, knowing exactly when to phase out veteran players, introduce new tactical systems, or completely revamp training methodologies. They developed specific indicators to recognize peak performance and initiated change before decline set in. In our VUCA world, volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous, leaders must master the art of continuous adaptation. The All Blacks embraced military strategist John Boyd's OODA loop, observe, orient, decide, act, as their framework for rapid decision-making in dynamic environments. Like fighter pilots who survive by getting inside their opponent's decision cycle, successful organizations must constantly scan their environment, analyze multiple options, make decisive choices, and execute swiftly, then immediately restart the cycle to stay ahead of competitors and prevent decline. They implemented this through regular performance reviews, opposition analysis, and tactical adjustments, often making significant changes between matches. This approach closely mirrors Russian general Alexander Suvorov's military principles. Playing a fast-paced game, histrota, through quick ball movement and rapid transitions, making split-second decisions to disorient opponents, glazometer, through unexpected tactical shifts, and acting aggressively to seize advantage, natisk, by capitalizing on momentary opportunities. The All Blacks didn't merely react to change, they became its architects through structured feedback loops embedded in their leadership processes, from post-match analysis to weekly player development reviews. Kevin Roberts, global CEO of Saatchi & Saatchi, exemplifies this adaptive approach with his implementation of rolling 100-day plans focused on specific, measurable, and ambitious goals that shifts organizational focus from endless assessment to decisive execution. These plans include clear metrics, accountability structures, and regular review points. The lesson emerges with crystal clarity. Organizations must create an adaptive culture that anticipates and embraces change or face extinction. Success lies in identifying and exploiting gaps in the competitive landscape before others do. The power of purpose extends beyond victory on the field. In 2004, 8 men gathered at New Zealand Rugby Union headquarters after a disastrous tour to fix this thing. During this pivotal 3-day meeting, Brian Lockhore provided 6 words that would define their efforts for the next 8 years. Better people make better All Blacks. This philosophy focused on developing players as complete human beings, not just athletes. Successful organizations demonstrate this principle beyond sports. Howard Schultz built Starbucks with healthcare for employees as his driving purpose. Saatchi & Saatchi wants to make the world a better place. Ford aims to democratize the automobile. Disney brings smiles to children's faces. Nike empowers the individual. Barcelona FC plays with perhaps the most motivating purpose. They play for freedom as they represent Catalonia. Jim Collins describes this as the extra dimension, a guiding philosophy beyond profit that drives companies from good to great. As neurologist Donald Kahn notes, reason leads to conclusions, emotion leads to action. Purpose begins with asking why. Simon Sinek explains that people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. The limbic brain drives gut feelings that matter more than rational thought. Inspired leaders communicate from the inside out, attracting followers through shared values. As Nietzsche said, he who has a why to live for can bear almost any how. The South African cricket team found success by rediscovering Ubuntu, the interconnectedness that sends ripples into the wider community. The Crusaders maintain their vision through a temple-like display of values with team first at the center. The All Blacks' fundamental purpose is to add to the legacy, leaving the jersey in a better place than they found it. This purpose began transforming them after their 45-6 victory over France in 2004, when they went to war for each other as one. In 2002, Hackney, London, a resident frustrated by gang violence, helped create Teenage Kicks, a five-a-side football tournament transforming gangs into teams through a concept called Pass the Ball. This approach empowered individuals by entrusting them with responsibility for team success. The organizers handled logistics, but handed responsibility to local youth. They targeted natural leaders aged 19-25 to become managers, who selected captains who formed teams. The only rule, show up on time for every game or be disqualified. 52 teams arrived for the first night, far exceeding expectations, and none were disqualified. 10 years later, the program continues successfully. Graham Henry applied similar principles with the Oblaks, transferring leadership from management to players. Leadership groups formed with distinct portfolios from on-field leadership to community relations. Senior players inducted newcomers into team expectations, more effective coming from peers than coaches. The structure evolved throughout each week. Sunday review meetings were coach-facilitated, but by Thursday, players owned priorities and intensity levels. By Saturday's game, players had taken over the asylum. As Henry put it, "I'm just a resource." This shared responsibility created shared ownership. We changed from unilateral decision-making to dual management, with players setting standards, says Wayne Smith. Dual leadership was a very important part of our success, Henry confirms. Tom Peters wrote, "Leaders don't create followers, they create more leaders." Kevin Roberts adds that language matters. A team of followers is immediately on the back foot. A team of leaders steps up and finds a way to win. The All Blacks embraced mission command over traditional command and control, providing clear goals, resources, and timeframes while trusting players to execute. This approach develops autonomous thinkers, creates adaptive environments, builds flexible leadership, fosters ownership, and establishes decision frameworks. Henry, despite being a control freak, displayed what Jim Collins calls level 5 leadership, a paradoxical blend of personal humility and professional will, channeling ego needs into building a great institution rather than personal glory. Graham Henry structured the All Blacks Week to facilitate learning and development, Sunday for recovery and leadership planning, Monday for mental preparation, Tuesday for strength and technical work, Wednesday for rest, Thursday for technical alignment and intense training, Friday for player-led sessions, and Saturday for final preparation and performance. Within this structure, each player had an independent personal profile comprised of 7 or 8 pillars that translated into a daily map of self-improvement, things I do today. This combination of team structure and individualized development delivered their strategy. Unlike businesses with less immediate feedback, the All Blacks learning system operates across multiple organizational levels, seasonal, series-based, team-focused, and individual, all engineered toward peak performance at the right time. This includes marginal gains, the aggregation of small improvements that create significant advantage, similar to Clive Woodward's critical non-essentials or Dave Brailsford's approach with British cycling. Creating a learning environment requires leaders to eliminate negative influences while remaining open to valuable outside perspectives. The All Blacks coaches visited other teams, brought in specialists from diverse fields, and invited inspirational speakers like Jock Hobbs and Victoria Cross recipient Willie Appiata to address the team. As Bill Walsh said, "The ability to help the people around me self-actualize their goals underlies the single aspect of my abilities and the label that I value most, teacher." Sometimes it only takes one encounter, one teacher, to change a life. Sean Fitzpatrick's teacher was Guy Davis, who coached his lower grade rugby team and taught him that it didn't matter what level of talent had been given to us, it was what we did with that talent that counted. No excuses and no exceptions. This lesson became foundational to Fitzpatrick's life philosophy. Human beings are motivated by purpose, autonomy, and mastery. Accomplished leaders create environments where people develop skills, knowledge, and character, fostering cultures of curiosity, innovation, and continuous improvement. The All Blacks don't just train, they learn. Wano means to be born or give birth and refers to extended family in Maori culture. In the All Blacks context, it represents the team as family, a unified group moving in one direction. In Maori mythology, Wano is symbolized by a spearhead, derived from the flight formation of the kawa, cormorant birds, which fly in V formation for 70% greater efficiency than flying solo. For a team to succeed, all members must work together with a unified mind. As Phil Jackson, former Chicago Bulls coach, discovered with Michael Jordan, even the greatest individual talent needs to surrender to the group effort to win championships. When Jordan finally embraced team play over individual glory, he won 6 championship rings. The All Blacks enforce their standards through peer-to-peer accountability rather than top-down management. This backseat-of-the-bus culture evolved into a formal leadership group that handles internal team problems. When players Corey Jane and Israel Dagg broke team rules during the Rugby World Cup by drinking heavily, they faced their 7 most senior teammates rather than management, a far more effective form of accountability. Wayne Smith created the Rugby Club, where players wear their original club jerseys during social gatherings, reminding them of their roots while strengthening team bonds. These connections build resilience and trust, what Graham Henry calls the connection between people. The stronger these connections, the better the team performs. The All Blacks maintain a strict no dickheads policy, borrowed from the Sydney Swans. This philosophy extends to selection. Talented players who might disrupt team culture are never selected or invited back. One selfish individual can infect the entire group. By setting high standards and using peer enforcement to maintain them, the All Blacks create an exceptional team environment where the strength of the wolf truly is the pack. The All Blacks' 2007 World Cup quarterfinal defeat to France stands as a defining moment in their history, starkly demonstrating how pressure can derail even the most talented teams. Leading 13-3 at halftime, they lost 20-18, making a series of poor decisions in the final minutes. The team missed crucial tackles, made uncharacteristic handling errors, and failed to capitalize on scoring opportunities. Anton Oliver described the locker room afterward as having the smell of death, a visceral reminder of how devastating pressure-induced failure can be at the highest level. From this crushing loss emerged a crucial insight that would transform their approach. Performance under pressure fundamentally depends on maintaining mental clarity. The All Blacks, working with mental skills coach Gilbert Anoka, developed a sophisticated technique called Redhead Bluehead. Redhead represents a state of being tight, inhibited, and anxious, characterized by overthinking, tunnel vision, and choking under pressure. Bluehead, in contrast, represents the optimal state, calm, clear, accurate, and present in the moment, where decision-making flows naturally. The team developed multiple layers of mantras and triggers as powerful tools for maintaining effective thinking during pressure situations. These mental roadmaps help players navigate when they get lost in the intensity of competition. They exist on 3 distinct levels: visual mnemonics, like imagining a blue sky, physical triggers, such as stamping feet or controlling breathing patterns, and verbal cues, designed to bring players into the present moment. Anton Oliver recalls the All Blacks' specific playing mantra that guided their game strategy: TQB, top quality ball, OTG, over the gain line, KBA, keep the ball alive, and LQB, lightning quick ball. These 4 elements provided their template for reading and responding to game situations, offering clarity amid chaos. Players would systematically work through these elements when making decisions on the field. By controlling attention through these anchoring techniques, maps, and mantras, players learn to deal with what is rather than getting lost in what ifs. This mental framework allows them to meet pressure with pressure, actively applying it rather than passively feeling it. The fundamental principle became clear. Controlling attention controls performance, and controlling performance controls the game's outcome. The 2011 World Cup final against France demonstrated the practical application of these principles. Each player had developed personal techniques to maintain their blue med state. Richie McCaw would breathe deeply, hold his wrist, and stamp his feet to reconnect with himself. Brad Thorne threw water over himself to cool his thoughts and reset his mental state. Kieran Reid would stare at the distant edge of the stadium to gain perspective and maintain composure. While spectators and media flashed back to the nightmare of 2007, the All Blacks stayed firmly in the blue, executing their game plan with precision. When the final whistle blew, 9-8 New Zealand. Coach Graham Henry's declaration, "We smashed 'em," reflected not just the scoreboard victory, but the mental battle they'd won in their heads. The All Blacks' culture of sacrifice begins with a powerful initiation ritual. Rookie Benson Stanley describes being asked two profound questions before his debut. What do I have to offer the team, and what am I prepared to sacrifice? That night, after answering before the team, senior players like McCaw, Smith, and Thorne spoke about the All Blacks' legacy before performing a haka to welcome and challenge the newcomers. "From then on, I knew it was the big time," Stanley reflects. These rituals, as Joseph Campbell explains, ease the transition between states, from youth to maturity, freedom to responsibility. They enact the primary All Blacks myth of sacrifice, giving everything for the team, bleeding for it, putting your balls on the line. "Champions do extra," Brad Thorne's personal motto, inherited from his father, encapsulates this ethic. One of rugby's most decorated players, Thorne is first to arrive at the gym and last to leave, always adding something extra to every routine. 5 minutes to go in the test match," he asks, "who wants it more?" This principle extends beyond the All Blacks. Dan Carter became rugby's highest point scorer after practicing for hours on the full-size posts his father built in their backyard. The Franks brothers began weight training as teenagers under their father's guidance, lifting more than the All Blacks by age 18. Even after winning the World Cup, Ben Franks immediately flew in a trainer to work on his weaknesses. The All Blacks' brand of courage is legendary. Buck Shelford continued playing in the Battle of Nantes after having his scrotum ripped open and stitched without anesthetic, only leaving when concussed with two missing teeth. This champion mindset transcends sport. Olympic marksman Karalee Te Cox taught himself to shoot left-handed after losing his right hand, eventually winning gold. Writer Hunter S. Thompson copied entire novels by Fitzgerald and Hemingway to know what it felt like to write a masterpiece. Steve Jobs insisted on perfection even in unseen details, like the inside of a computer or factory floors painted white. "Whatever we give our life to, we are spending our finite existence. As Steve Jobs said, we don't get a chance to do that many things, and everyone should be really excellent, because this is our life. Champions find something they would die for, then give their life to it." When a player makes the All Blacks, they receive a small black leather-bound book. The first page shows the jersey of the 1905 Originals, followed by the 1924 Invincibles, and so on, to the present day. A visual wakapapa, genealogy, layered with meaning. The next pages remind players of the principles, heroes, values, standards, code of honor, ethos, and character of the team. The rest of the pages are blank, waiting to be filled. The message is clear. It's time to make your mark, your contribution. It's time to leave your legacy. It's your time. This powerful metaphor encapsulates the All Blacks' philosophy of wakapapa, connecting us to our ancestors and future generations, creating a responsibility to leave a positive legacy. Our social footprint, the impact our life has on others, begins with character and purpose. What do we hold sacred? What's our purpose? What can we pass on? Great teams play with higher purpose, from uniting and inspiring New Zealanders to making the world better for everyone. In our post-financial crisis world, making money alone isn't enough. People seek meaning and authenticity. Companies that contribute a healthy social footprint will thrive, recruiting better talent and building sustainable cultures of contribution. Leadership means being stewards of the future, working incrementally toward better collective outcomes with respect, humility, and excellence. As Muhammad Ali said, service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. Character, from the Greek charakter, meaning the mark left on a coin, is the impact you make in life and the trace you leave when gone. Be more concerned with your character than your reputation, said John Wooden, because your character is what you really are. Our greatest responsibility is honoring those before and after us. We are caretakers of our lineage, whose actions echo beyond our time. The All Blacks embody this through a Maori proverb that guides their journey. Manaaki wenua, manaaki tangata, haere wakamua. Care for the land, care for the people, go forward. In the end, the legacy we leave isn't just about what we accomplish, but who we become and what we inspire in others. Like the blank pages in that little black book, our legacy awaits our contribution.